that whether they were going to do it now or they were going to come back at the end, that they had to do one day. That's kind of a stipulation when they come, but I know that I try to give notice because I know, Susan, you have to get your chops going, don't you? but I really, this morning, folks, I don't have a full breadth sermon for you. I think some people will have breathe a sigh of relief on that, being that it's 11:30, because that would have mean that we wouldn't be getting out here about 1. Randy has this sign sometimes, land the plane, Corey. So you use that when Jim's here? Okay. but I tell you, I want to take this opportunity that we have on the first Sunday to really highlight a couple of things. I want us to look at some scripture here this morning. Y'all forgive me, I'm not used to such a small podium that we have, but I want us to really take a look in Ephesians chapter 4 and look at a familiar passage of scripture, I would have imagined, to most people, starting somewhere around about verse 11. And before I get into the scripture today, I really want to highlight what God has done in this church over the past year in 2018, what amazing things God has allowed us to see and do, and we'll look at that, and I'll get to the papers that you all should have here in a second. But in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11, it says, "It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things, grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ." Verse 16 is where I want to leave on the screen here. "From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Okay. I wanted to read this in the whole chapter 4. It is one of my favorite chapters. Of course, I have probably 200 or 300 favorite chapters in the Bible. But this particular passage of Scripture, for me as a pastor, gives me what my mandate is when I am teaching, what my ministry is. When you look, starting in verse 11, I want to look back through this real quick here. And show you why I do what I do and what pastors should be doing inside of their churches. This is talking about Jesus. He gave gifts to men, and it says it was he, Jesus Christ, who gave some, and some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Now, some people have taken that scripture, and they have gone wild with that in times past, and they talk about a fivefold ministry and hierarchies within the church. I am not of that camp, okay? These are not an exhaustive list of gifts and positions within the church, but these are 5 important ministry gifts that God has given. You see, a pastor and a teacher is within that. Why? Why did he give these gifts? Verse 12, it answers that for us. He gave those gifts to prepare God's people. Who is in this thing? If I'm the pastor and teacher, who are God's people in this whole choreography? Raise your hand. To prepare God's people to sit back and listen and be entertained. Is that what it says? Oh, what's it say? Oh, maybe. I don't remember. Maybe when I was in cemetery. seminary, they say that's where preachers go to die. Sometimes that's not true, okay? It was some of the best years of my life, you know, and they're forcing me to think about things like that. But when you look at this, when people are going, it seems to be that modern day young pastors feel as if we should entertain people to fill our church. I don't intend to do that. I never have. I've been serving in this church since June of 2007. Okay, so 2019 is going to be my 12th year of service in this church as youth pastor, as associate pastor, and as the pastor. Brooke and I weren't married. We've been dating for a couple of years. I mean, her and I have. This church has been a major part of our relationship, and it was one of those moments before we were well even married that, you know, I had to sit down and say, hey, we knew we were going to be married. We knew that. There were no ifs, ands, or buts about that, but I had to wait for her mama to continue to pay for her school before we got married. But we were rather young. I mean, I was 17, she was 16 when we were together. I came to this church when I was 19 years old, so we had been together for a couple of years. And we come here, and I had to sit down with her and say, listen, I believe God is calling me to this church. She had been saved, 3 years maybe by that time? And I happened to be doing a youth Sunday, and I was leading the singing. I know. Nobody else would do it, but we were singing 308 in the old Baptist hymnal, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." And I was standing there singing that as Brooke walked down the aisle to give her heart and life to the Lord. So that was just a very short period of time that we had been together. And I went to her and I said, "Listen, God's calling me to this church." And we talked about it, and we had to talk about that as a couple. As I said, "Well, look, you know, this is the young woman that I'm going to marry, and she's got to be on board with that. But God has seen us to be here, and she came alongside of me and has done an amazing, amazing job over these years too." Yeah. I'm not giving this right here for all of this, but to tell you that I have seen this church come through some very rough times. I have been here. I've been on the ground. I've been working, you know, in this church. When I came here, you know, y'all had not had a youth program, you know, in the church here that was really strong. And I remember coming in. I mean, again, I'm 19 years old. I have not been to seminary at this particular time. I had no formal training. I had only 1 year of actual youth ministry service in a church. And it was my home church, and I had just done that, and I didn't know what a United Community Church was. I grew up Baptist. You know, when we were sitting out there saying amen, that was okay for the men, but you didn't raise your hand too high. Lightning may strike you, felt like sometimes. In the little church that I grew up at, you may not have the same experience, but I did, in the little church. And we had some folks that come in to our church, and I remember the first time I ever heard a woman say, "Preach it, preacher." I thought, whoa, wow. And it was an amazing experience for me to open up and to understand the differences that are outside. So coming to United Community Church was a culture shock for me, too. Now, let me just say, you all haven't been privy to this because I keep it in secret most of the time, but I came here and I opened up some photo albums back when we used to print pictures and put them in photo albums. Now my wife still does. But printed them, and I looked. Not only am I coming to a church I don't know a whole lot about, it's not a Baptist church. They don't seem to be denominational. And I knew the pastor a little bit. I knew Brother John, and I had met Daryl before. And I come, and I'm looking through these pictures, and there are men dressed in women's clothes with makeup on. I thought to myself, and I went to Brooke. I said, "I don't know what kind of church I've got us in." I'd have no idea. They had a womanless beauty pageant. Context is king in this, okay? We're not about drag here, okay? So don't. And I'm not going to do anything like that. Brother Joe and Jonah, they were a whole lot more powerful than I am to be able to do that kind of stuff. But it was fun. And it was great. Great fun that they had in doing that stuff. But you can imagine my shock. And then Joy Wilson, You know, here I'm thinking, oh, Daryl, you know, he was the chairman of the board at that time, and I'm meeting his wife for the first time. She goes, hey, my name is Joy. And she had these fake Halloween teeth on. And I thought, these people are nuts. You know? But I stayed, so I must just be just as crazy for all of these years. But I want to say this, that it has been my distinct honor and privilege over the past 7 years to be leading this church as the pastor. And this scripture is very familiar to me, that in that time, 7 years ago, whenever I had to stand and take the pulpit, not for the first time, because that was another rocky time, but when I had to really take the pulpit and begin to teach the church, I pulled Ephesians 4 out. And specifically, when we look at verses 14, 15, and 16. because I understood my responsibility. I'd been ordained. I had given the charge. I knew what my charge was as a pastor, that I needed to equip the saints for the works of ministry, which is how I remembered that scripture. But it says to you, do that, and it says, when did this happen? When this unity happens, and when the saints are equipped for the works of ministry, it says, then we will no longer be tossed. It will be infants, but and tossed back and forth with the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Verse 15, instead, we'll speak the truth in love. We will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. And then verse 16, being the poster verse of what I had back then and used today, is that from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And I read that verse about 7 years ago, and I said, I cannot do this by myself. Okay, you can pay a pastor, you can not pay one and still have a pastor, you can get four deacons or so up here, but we, even four, five, six leaders cannot do it all. And I said to them, we have to have everybody to pitch in and do your part that God has led you to do. And I instituted at that time in that message the two rules that I use when it comes to service of the church. Number one, that you are called of God to do whatever it is you want to do. And number two, that you're willing to do what God called you to do. That's the only two rules that I have if you want to be in service at United Community Church. I need to know that God has called you to do that and that you're willing to submit to what God is calling you to do. Because God's not going to call somebody who is immoral and shouldn't be doing that. So it gets out all of those criterion lists that we have that are out there. If God is called and we can bear witness to that, I'm thinking we're pretty good. But see, there are some people that God has called, but they're not willing. And on October the 8th of 2012, I preached a sermon that God doesn't use, he doesn't call the ready, he calls the willing sometimes. Because we have to just be willing to be used of God, and then he'll charge you up and he'll get you ready to do some things. I've had so many people say, well, I'm not trained, I've never done this before. Surrender to God and he'll give you everything that you need. He'll give you every tool. I had no experience in being a pastor. I come down to this altar on this side of the church and bowed before God and said, I have no idea. This is my exact prayer. God, I do not know what I am doing, and I need you to help me. And I still say the same thing now as I say then. I don't know how in the world that I'm still here in 7 years of being the pastor. I'm only 30. I know some people go, whoa, I thought he was 40, and don't you ever tell me that. But at this point, you have to understand, I'm 23 years old, Spencer. You're 24 right now, aren't you? Okay. I hadn't even been married yet and all this stuff. And it's not something that I was going, yeah, let's go do it. Okay? I didn't approach it that way. And if you also, if you approach ministry, pastors and deacons and, I mean, actual office titles in the Bible, if you approach it like that, I want it so bad, you probably don't know what you're getting yourself into. Okay? You know, so most of the time, God leads us by our nose into ministry. You look in the Bible. Did Moses want to do what he did? All of those different ones you can look that are out there. But God, again, he uses the willing. And when you finally give it up, God, then God will use you. But see, when you're wanting it so bad, maybe it's not exactly what God is wanting you to do. You're wanting to do your own thing. And I didn't create this path for myself, but I'm honored to be here. And I say to you that in 2018, and I looked in this church, and I want to land this plane really, because my point today is that God has taken this church so very far. And I, on November the 4th, Miss Wilma sat down here and gave us a history of where our church has been. And so many of you that are here, you don't know where this church has been and where we are now. It's hard for you to appreciate, as I do, and more than me, as Wilma does. But in my 12 years in this church almost, God has brought us so, so very far through so many things that you don't even have a clue about, okay? And what I'm saying in this is I appreciate everything that happens in this church, because I've been here, I've been on the ground, I know what it has taken to get us through some of these events that have gone on in the past, and it helps me to appreciate the mountaintop that we are on right now. I do not take that mountaintop for granted. Every year I'm worried at where's the valley? Where's the valley? Because you're so used to that in life, and you're used to that in ministry. It's this roller coaster thing. Things are going good, and people are coming, and the church is healthy, and boom, you hit a wall, and then you're back up, and boom, you're back. And you never feel like you really watched the whole movie. It feels like you watch a little bit and rewind. And then you watch a little bit, and then you rewind. You never feel like you get to the end. It gets frustrating. Life is this way, right? But you know what the thing that, you know what really happened is I prayed, and we were praying. I said, God, we don't have time in this church to get people to come in and visit the church for a little while, and then after a year or so get ready and active. We need teachers and helpers and people to come labor. And I said, God, my exact prayer was, God, we need charged up batteries. And boom, 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 people started coming in. Dean and Linda Taylor showed up on a Wednesday night. We were meeting in the fellowship hall because we didn't want to have the expense of lighting all this stuff. We just had a small Bible study back there. They met, came there, and here I was teaching. And here they are all those years later. They stayed with us, okay? And I'm thinking, how did they kind of, you know, it wasn't pomp and circumstance. It wasn't flash and stage lighting and music that got us all jumping up and stuff like that. Just a simple Bible study, maybe 20-something people that were here. Jessica and Tucker, this is way later because they've been here about 3 years or so, 2.5 years, something like that. But they're leading our youth now, and they come have to listen to me online, listening to the audio. I thought, ooh, and you still came? I don't know how y'all do it. I can't listen to myself. But it's amazing what God has done, and this is where I want to get us to. Every year that I've led this church over the past 7 years as the pastor, we have prayed for God to do something. God, we need this piece of the puzzle so that we can now do this. And I start every October, usually, in real intense prayer and preparation for the next year of where God wants to take us, you know, to at least by that time. And I began to think and pray this October, there's no missing piece of the puzzle. There's no missing piece. Before, we tried to say, God, if we could only get this many people to help, if we could only pay off our building, if we could only get a van, if we could only get a space for youth. Before, when I was a youth minister, we didn't have any dedicated space for ourselves. We were meeting in the kitchen. You know, if we could pay that building off, we could put money to go over here. And if our offerings and things increased to this level, we'd be able to fund ministries. And then we started building this building back here. Now we're trying to, you know, we needed more education space so we could expand the different ministry and discipleship things that we were doing. And we needed to do that and have the money to do it and to pay that off. And all of that stuff is done, y'all. Praise God for that. What are we worrying about? I'm telling you, I worried every Sunday when I was here, not so I could get paid, because I didn't worry about that. I actually had paid some other people's salary stuff so they could keep on, you know, making some money here when I first came on board. I wasn't worried about my salary, but every Sunday I looked at what the numbers were to see if we were going to be able to pay Georgia Power. The struggle was real. We were all together sitting there saying, "Wait, well, we got to, all right, now we got to pay the light bill, we got to pay this bill." We don't worry. That doesn't mean that we don't need people to give, okay? Please don't hear what I'm not saying. But we know that we're putting money in ministries. I talked to y'all on November the 4th about the fact that we give strongly to the Gideons. We give strongly to missions, Operation Christmas Child. We put money into ministries where they don't have to come and fundraise to death. You don't have to run your ministry on fundraisers. We have people, and that's been a big thing over the course of my years here, is getting people to work. That last part right there, each of us that does our own part, each of us that does our own work. We have people in every area that have stepped up and they're owning things now. They're owning the van. I don't have to worry about whether it's going to be run. I know that Dean and I know that Don Alford, they're going to run that van every week, okay? We know that there's going to be we expanded 2 years ago and did some changes, cut Sunday night services out, and we really focus on Wednesday nights. And typically on a Wednesday, there's 110 adults here this morning, and on Wednesday nights we typically have about 70 to 80 people in the total building. That was unheard of on a Wednesday night in a church this small. Sunday school, we had people that are here. So all that God gave me this year for this church is that we need everybody serving. Because what he told me is, Corey, you've gotten everything you've prayed for. We have education space. Education space enough for what we need right now and to grow. We have two vans that have a capacity of 30 people that are sitting that can be in those vans that are out there. You can write a $20,000 check today, and if you got the money, do it. Okay, you can write that, but what we need is people that take that money and apply it into the kingdom of God to do the work that God has them to do. More money, we got money in the bank. That doesn't mean that it quickly doesn't go away if you don't give. I mean, some people are going, he's saying that. What we need is everybody on board. So then I get to this, and this is when I'm closing. Everybody, this a member or a current long-time visitor, if you haven't joined our church, you got one of these? Anybody need one? Because I'm going to walk to you and pass it out to you. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is the list of, you raising your hand, Daniel, you got one. You may have bought something in there, here you go. Here, y'all pass them around to folks that may not have one. Here's the thing. I have this list, and I've put it up. It's not exactly exhaustive, you know, here, but it's the main ministries that we have in the church. And I've got some of it alphabetical, but it shows you what we have, going on here, and it gives you an option to select what you would like to do in 2019. Last year, when we paid off the building, when I became the pastor of the church, we owed $113,000 on the building. That's what we refinanced it for. In 7 years, we have paid $113,000 off of this current building, plus $160,000 for a new building that we've had over there. Bibles, all of these things that we have done, and that is because we have all been faithful. God has blessed us with all of this material stuff, and he will take it away just like that if we do not use it for his kingdom. The gifts and talents and abilities that you and I both have, if we don't use those, we might as well not have them at all. And in Paul talks to us in Corinthians 12 about the gifts that we have. I'm not going there, Joe, you're okay. And about the gifts that we have and how we need to be all working together. All we need in this church, all we need in this church is more. We can still stay the same doing what we're doing right now if all we do in 2019 is do the same thing we did in 2018. We got people working, and we've got people that are charged up and doing ministry stuff. But I'm asking, there's a lot of people, and I know this, and there's many of you in here. That's why I'm doing it on a Sunday morning, because there's many of you in here that you give and you support the church and all that kind of stuff. I understand that. Some of you may not. But there's not a ministry of our church that you are plugged into. Okay? So I want you to have the information on this paper of the different ministries, and I am asking you as your pastor to find something on this list to do in 2019. I'm asking everybody. Now you say, I'm too old. Brother Dooley, will you please stand? Hold on, Mary Beth, hold on. How old are you, Brother Dooley?
93.
93 years old. Anybody else in here older than that? Huh? Earl. Anybody else older than Brother Dula? I don't think so. Sir, you can have. I'm going to tell you something real quick. This right here, this communion, every month, he makes sure this communion is done, and he makes sure we got the ushers to be able to take it up every month. He used to every time get the microphones and stuff like that ready. Brother Dula's 93 years old. That's what he does. He wished, and he tells me all the time, he could do so much more, don't you? Okay? But that's what he does. So what's your excuse? I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm saying it is a privilege, and it is awesome that this is all we need. I think that God has blessed this church and blessed this ministry so much that all we need to go from where we are now to the next level is getting just a few more folks to step up and teach a class and lead this, and we could add another Sunday school class, and then you could fill that one up, and that we can do more in our children's programs, and we can have all of that, and we're not worried about burning out the current people that we have that are running in those ministries right now. That is an awesome place for United Community Church to be in, and it is testament to the blessings that God has given us. All we need to do right now to do more for God this year is to polish. That's it. Get communication better. Work on the things that God has us to do. And as he says in Matthew chapter 9, when Jesus was talking to the disciples, he says that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We don't have that problem here. We got plenty of workers. We do. But I want you to buy into United Community Church. If you're sitting here and you think, well, it's just this routine that we're in all the time. I come to church and go home. We got a lot of things you could buy into, and you could become a part of our church. Being a part of the church is not just warming that pew every now and again. I don't feel a part if that's all I do. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to. I don't want anybody to be guilty for me to feel guilty for you if you have or have not been doing anything. I want you to realize, be a part of what God is doing. Be a part of the blessings that God is doing. I'm just asking you to find one thing that you could do on this list. I'm not going to read through the whole list of stuff. That's why I printed this for you. But Awana, we don't need you to do it every single Wednesday all year. All of these things are here. We do need people to do it consistently. But even I put on the youth, they're going to go on trips, and they're going to need chaperones sometimes. Mark on this list what you currently do and what you want to do, because I'm going to take this list, because I want them back either today, you can put them back there in the back, or on January the 27th, I want you to give me a copy of this back, because then I'm going to take that, I'm going to take all of those names, I'm going to give them to the individual leaders, and whenever something is going on, when you need a chaperone, you have the list of people that's already said what they want to do, okay? When you look on here, beautification team. All right, that's a new kind of thing here. I want to highlight that. This is because there's a change in the maintaining these flowers. Our ladies, two or three ladies that clean the church, they make sure this is done every Sunday. Maybe you want to be on that team. Maybe you're somebody who thinks, hey, we don't do enough stuff around the church. We need some more special events. There's a special event planning team, and you can be on that. And you say, well, I think we ought to do this day, or this quarter, or dinner and a movie, and help it out with those types of things. Read it, because guess what? I don't take advice from everybody like is on Facebook all the time. Take advice from everybody. Well, Corey, I just think we ought to go do this, that, and the other. You know what I'm going to say to you? Great, plan it. We got the money, the transportation, everything else. You plan it, we do it. You want me to plan everything? It's not going to happen. I'm telling you right now. It's not no ambiguity on that. I'm not going to do it all. Am I clear? Oh, okay. I want to make sure I was clear on that. I'm not. We have everything in place that we need. We just need you. We just need everybody banding together, making the wheel turn, all the old machinery working together. I don't know that there's one excuse that anybody could have that we can, it's only would you say that you don't want to, and that's okay. I'm not, if you don't want to, that is fine. If you want to just come on Sunday morning and you want to be here, that is okay with me. I want you to know what you can do so that I can put before you how you can use your gifts, your talents, and your abilities to not only bring you blessings, but bring blessings to this church. I want you to know that the opportunity is out there, and I want you to know that you're needed, and I want you to know how much God has blessed us. And I can guarantee you, if we'll get this together, and we will be unstoppable. But if we do the same thing we did in 2018, we're going to get the same result that we got in 2018, which is plenty of blessings. But I want to see us reach more people. I want to see us disciple more kids, more teenagers, more adults. I want to see those vans be used for ministry, not just for going and eating in. I want to see our money be given more to missions, reaching and discipling people more, not just for paying for pizza. I think that's what God will bless us with, don't you? Don't you think? You give to these offering plates, and we're going to give you an opportunity here in just a second to give one more time for the Royal Heirs here. And I'm going to ask our ushers if they'll go ahead and come up here real quick. We're going to take up a special offering for them. Because they travel and they really use expenses and gas and whatnot here, and they're a tremendous blessing. But you give in hopes that the Royal Heirs are going to continue to minister to other people in song, right? And they're going to have that ministry going out. You give to this church, hopefully, that we didn't just pay Georgia Power, or you didn't, I'm not lying in my pocket, you hope it's going to ministry, right? Amen. Let's make sure that happens. Let's be a part of that happening, and let's fulfill what God has given this church. It's a past to cherish and a future to fulfill. And I'm telling you right now, church, we are in uncharted territory. Brother Joe, first pastor of this church, Brother John, the second pastor of this church, neither one of them two has seen the church where we are now. It's not that we had a rewind. We are in a different place than we have ever been in this church, and it's exciting. We don't know what's going to come tomorrow, but it is really, really exciting that this church is in uncharted waters, and we got to continue to rely on God.
Amen.
And we need you today like we have before. Let's pray. Let's take up this offering, and I'm going to ask them to close us out in song. Father,